Hey guys, I'm Mike. I'm here today with Rasheel, and we're going to be going over homelessness and unemployment and how they coincide. So what would you say, Rasheel, what would you say homelessness and unemployment is? Like how do you define homelessness and unemployment?
Okay. So homelessness is people that don't have homes, who are living on the streets and who are poor and they don't have any money. And obviously main thing out of all the things I listed is they don't have a home, they're homeless. Mm-hmm. Unemployment is, I think the way I understand it, is people who don't have enough money, who aren't getting paid to feed themselves and all that kind of stuff. So that's what I define as homelessness and unemployment.
Yeah, very good. I would say for
you,
me.
You agree, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. What I said for homelessness is someone who has gone through a rough patch in their life and they're either currently living on streets, moving like maybe under an underpass mm-hmm. or an overpass. Mm-hmm. And then they could also be living in a shelter maybe. And unemployment is someone who currently doesn't really have a job and is searching for one.
Okay, that makes sense.
How would you say homelessness and unemployment relate to each other?
So I think the way they relate to each other is, so speaking of homelessness and unemployment, so when people are unemployed, they can become homeless, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the way what I think is that because you said unemployment in your definition would be if you can't find a job, right? So if you can't find a job for such a long period of time, then you're not going to be able to stay in your home and you can't afford to stay in your home, and then you would become homeless that way.
Yeah. What I said for how they relate is it's like unemployment, so someone loses their job, and then it's kind of what you said, it could lead to them not being able to
afford to stay
in a home, and then that's how they can become homeless. Mm. Or vice versa, it could be someone who like has been homeless from young age, and then since they're homeless they don't have like they don't look cleaned up, they don't look professional, and then that like that affects them getting jobs because people don't want to hire like someone who's homeless.
Yeah.
Hello listeners. My name is Abby, and I'm going to pop in and join Mike and Rasheel for a little bit. Mike and Rasheel just discussed how homelessness and unemployment are interrelated. Here to talk about that is a staff member from Home Sweet Home. Let's listen in and hear what she has to say.
First, I want you to tell me who you are, like your name and your job and how you got here.
Okay. I am Debbie Razy, and I am the Director of Client Services at Home Sweet Home. I've been here almost 4 years. I started as a residential associate, and then because I've known Matt a long time and he knows my background and stuff, he asked me to take this position about 6 weeks after I got here. I'm a retired United Methodist pastor. I retired to because my mother-in-law was moving in with us, mm-hmm. and I retired to take care of her, and she died 6 days later. So I found myself bored and thought that I was going to just volunteer for Home Sweet Home. Mm-hmm. But when I looked at their website to volunteer, they had staff openings, and I thought, maybe I want a part-time job, maybe. And so when I came in to interview for it, they said, do you want part-time or full-time? And I talked to my husband, and I said, yeah, you know. And I said, I'll take full-time, and we'll see. And here I am.
Here you are.
Yeah.
So you're full-time.
I'm full-time. More than full-time, yes.
You're in for the long haul.
Yeah. 4 years worth at least. Yeah. But I really do like it. It's, in fact, the way Matt proposed this to me is he said, how would you like to have a new flock?
Ooh.
And it really is, it really does feel like my church mm-hmm. family, the people that I care for spiritually, the residents and the staff, and I just love our residents, and so I love being here and being a part of their lives.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Never would have thought at this point in my life I would start a new career, you know? a very short career, but, you know, yeah. So,
but
yeah, it happens. It does. Yeah. Apparently it happened to me.
Yeah. Okay. So my next question is, how does homelessness affect unemployment?
Okay. It is hard to do a resume when you don't have a home in which to do it, mm-hmm. and don't have, if people have a computer here, it's usually their phone. A few will bring a laptop, but not many, and then they still don't have a printer to do a resume. Or, of course, a lot of people, a lot of employers don't ask for a resume. They want it done online, and it's hard to do a resume on a phone. Mm-hmm. They also want an address.
Yeah.
And, you know, the residents can give Home Sweet Home's address, but a lot of people are embarrassed to do that, yeah. To say that they work in, or that they live in a homeless shelter. Also, there is a huge stigma. And so when people give their address, and people know that 303 East Oakland is Home Sweet Home, mm-hmm. They think differently about the person who is applying for the job. And the jobs that folks can get, let's see, hold on.
Yeah.
The jobs that people can get, and things have changed since COVID, are not enough to get into a home. Mm-hmm. So, into an apartment. I mean, you would have to work like 80 hours a week mm-hmm. at a minimum wage job to get into an apartment.
Right.
And that's rent. That's not trying to keep up on everything else too. Yeah. So it's very, very difficult to be able to. They do it. They do it every day.
Yeah.
And get jobs, especially in this economy where there's so many jobs to get. Mm-hmm. But they are always the low-paying jobs.
Right.
You know, people say, "Can we donate like suits and clothes, professional clothes, for your residents to wear for job interviews?" They're not interviewing at State Farm.
No.
They're interviewing at McDonald's and Arby's and Huck's, and not because they're that class of, and I'm doing finger quotes, of people, but just because they have been beaten down their entire lives, and that's all they think they can do. And we also don't have space for all that to keep clothes and stuff. So, those are some of the stumbling blocks. Also, transportation. If not everybody here is without a car, but most are without a car. If you are to the point where you don't have anywhere to live, you probably don't have a car either. Mm-hmm. And so transportation is a big thing. Buses stop at 6, 8, something like that. So if you work in the evening, you can't get home from work then.
Right.
Unless you walk, and a lot of people do. Like a long, long way to come back from work. I had a resident once who walked from here to Hudson to work. So that's a long way.
That is a very long way. Unemployment and homelessness usually go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. When one happens, so does the other. Which happens first, and does that matter?
Unemployment usually happens first.
Yeah.
So let me give you some scenarios. I like to put together stories of people that look like they're going to be just fine, mm-hmm. and something happens and suddenly they're homeless. That can happen to any of us. Mm-hmm. So let's say John Smith has a good job. Let's say at State Farm.
Yeah.
Let's say a really, really good job, has a house and mortgage payments. He and his wife are doing great. His wife works. She's, you know, helping make the mortgage payment. They separate or divorce. And suddenly there's a mortgage payment that neither one of them can make. So they sell their house, but they're upside down on their mortgage, meaning they owe more than they can get out of it. Mm-hmm. So now after they sell the house, they still owe money. And not only did they have housing debt, they had other debt, credit card debt, mm-hmm. And they owed money on their cars. So now one of them has lost their job. They don't have a house. they've got so much debt, they can't afford an apartment.
Yeah.
And there they are. Now, what a lot of people do is they've got a net. Maybe the parents are close by, mm-hmm. or siblings, or kids, depending on, and there's that safety net. And they can go to them until they can get back on their feet. Or the parents or kids or siblings can help get them into an apartment or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The people that come here don't have a net. Their parents have died. They didn't have kids. Or their parents or siblings or whoever are in the same predicament they are.
Yeah.
And so there is no one to go to for help.
Mm-hmm.
And they find themselves on the streets. I could tell you a million stories like that. Sometimes it's relationships. I had a guy one time who was a drywaller, or had been a drywaller, got hurt on the job, but didn't get disability for some reason, and so couldn't drywall anymore. He could still do other jobs, mm-hmm. But he was he had kids. He had been married twice, but had kids from three different wives and was paying child support
mm-hmm.
from three different women, paying child support to two of those and living with the third
mm-hmm.
Until she kicked him out.
Mm-hmm.
So now he doesn't have anywhere to go, and his money is going to child support.
Right.
And he can't work enough to get a place because he doesn't have savings.
Right, because all of his money is going to child support.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Now, he can go have that changed, but that's going to probably take a lawyer
right.
to get that changed. So, yeah. yeah. So there are just tons of reasons that people become get to the point where they're experiencing homelessness, and it usually has to do with the losing a job.
Mm-hmm.
So that comes first.
Yeah. Very good. In your opinion, why are homeless people unable to keep a sustainable job? I think we kind of already talked about this.
Well, yeah. And a lot of people who experience homelessness, not all, a lot of people deal with mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And mental illness makes it nearly impossible to keep a job, especially if you can't afford your medication or you can't get into a doctor, or there are a variety of reasons why they don't have medication. And people who are mentally ill, if they don't have a support system, don't have anybody to keep on them to stay on their medicines. So that's a big, big deal. And if you are experiencing depression and you just can't get to work someday, your boss isn't going to say, I understand, you're depressed. If you are experiencing some kind of schizophrenic episode, your boss isn't going to say, oh, I get it, come on in. So mental illness is one thing. We also, another subset of our population has addiction issues, and that keeps them from having a steady job, because they go for a while and they get a little money, and once they get money, they spend it on the wrong things
yeah.
and slide back into addiction and lose their job. It's the it's the subset of people who aren't mentally ill and don't have substance abuse issues that may or may not be able to keep a job. Several of our residents do have a job, and they've had it for a while. It's just either so low paying that they can't afford a place to live, especially right now when the apartment rentals have gone up dramatically, or they've had so much debt that they're still paying off their debt while they're here and don't have any bills.
Yeah.
And they're here for a while so they can get their debt paid off so that they can get an apartment. The other thing is that people who experience homelessness, I've said before, have been told all their lives, not everybody, but many of them, that they're worthless.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of the percentage of people that are here that have been in some form of abuse in their lives is huge. And so they have been told they're nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they begin to believe that.
Yeah.
And something starts to go wrong in a job, and they'll quit before they're fired because they don't want to be fired.
Yeah.
And so it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So that's really sad.
Mm-hmm.
people also try to move around a lot. Like, we had somebody the other day that left because somebody, a boyfriend, promised them that she could live with him, and it was in another town. And so if she were had been working, she would have lost her job here to go to that other town. Yeah. Likely, that boyfriend isn't going to follow through with that promise.
Yeah.
And so she'll go somewhere else. But often that happens, too. We've had a lot of people move to another state because they knew somebody down there, and they said, come on down, you can stay with us. And they get down there, and the promise isn't fulfilled. Yeah. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I think I got the most of the people there. Oh.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I have one more question.
Okay.
Do you think that there is a way for homeless people to be able to find and keep a sustainable job?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it takes some support from
right.
somebody. And when they're here,
yeah.
we support them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have found that a lot of times when we get somebody housed, and they go from here to being on their own,
mm-hmm.
sometimes they go down a little bit. And so we have extended our case management so that it goes longer, like when they leave here, it's not over.
Right.
We continue to follow up with them and continue to to stay in touch with them for a while so that they get used to being on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have become their support system, and without knowing it, they have counted on that support system.
Right.
But, you know, when you have a bad day at work, you got to have somebody to talk to about that.
Mm-hmm.
And if that keeps happening and there's nobody to talk to and your boss has just said, you know, you're a failure, it's really hard to stay at that job.
Right.
You need somebody to talk to about that. So absolutely, they can keep a job. It would be easier if they had somebody that were supportive of them.
Right.
And it would be perfect if we could find employers who would work with them. And say, I know you're struggling, but I want you here.
Right.
And so come back tomorrow, and we're going to start again. You know.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is usually money,
yeah.
and always money, I guess. And employers aren't necessarily willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely, they can keep jobs. And we've had people keep jobs a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And if they deal with mental illness, they need to stay on their meds.
Right.
If they're dealing with addiction, they need to stay in treatment. And that's hard to do without a support system.
Yeah.
So those are kind of the obstacles
uh-huh.
that are there.
That need to, yeah.
And society isn't real good about trying to come around people. They would rather keep a distance. They're afraid of people experiencing homelessness. And, you know, our folks are safe. You know, they're not going to hurt anybody. They just have been dealt some bad stuff, or they've made some poor choices, or a combination of the above. But they're not bad people,
yeah.
and they're not violent people, you know. So, but a lot of times society is afraid of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whole crossing the street so you don't have to walk by somebody. So, yeah. Obviously, I said this, but the housing market is horrible. Even people. So one of the problems with our residents to get into housing is often they've been evicted.
Yeah.
And somebody with an eviction, an apartment owner doesn't necessarily want to take that person with an eviction. They have bad credit score. Apartment owner doesn't want to do that. So what we do is we partner with those property managers and say, hey, we're supporting this person, you know, we'll be good for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we say, no, they don't have a good credit history, and this is why, but we're working on that, and we're bringing it up. Yes, they have had an eviction, this is why, but will you give them a chance? And we know the people that we can talk to. We continue to try to develop more and more relationships with property managers so that we can do that. So, and then once they get in, we continue to support them. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's probably,
yeah.
The thing between housing and unemployment that we struggle with. So a lot of people will look at those experiencing homelessness and say, they just need to get up and get a job.
Right.
It's not that easy.
Right.
It's not that easy. And a lot of them have a job. They still can't sustain it. Because if they're working at McDonald's, they're not getting first of all, they're not making much, and they're also not getting 40 hours a week with benefits. And that's, you know, there are lots of jobs to get around here.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are part-time and low-paying jobs. If you are a server at a restaurant, I don't know, now you may get full-time, but they don't want to hire full-time
because
right. they don't want to pay that. So they would rather hire several part-time than a couple full-time. And that's a difficult thing.
Right.
And if they do get full-time, then what hours are they working and are the buses running when they can do that?
Right.
So. And childcare, you know?
There's just one thing after another.
There is. There are obstacles upon obstacles upon obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
And our case managers start by looking at the goals people have for themselves and then looking at the obstacles and say, okay, let's take away one obstacle at a time here.
Yeah.
Let's figure it out. You don't have a GED, let's work on getting a GED,
mm-hmm.
you know. You don't have a doctor, let's work on getting a doctor, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah.
One thing at a time.
One thing at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. And I'm pretty defensive when people say, oh, they're homeless, they just don't work hard enough. You know, please get to know them and know that they may have a physical ailment.
Mm-hmm.
That causes them not to be able to work. They may, who knows?
Yeah.
And they may be working, just not when you see them.
Yeah. You never know.
Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, wow, I hope I get to be in a homeless shelter today.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, they slept in their car or on the street. But, you know, a person that has had a job and had a place to live never think this is going to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But it could.
But it could and does.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Had people from all stages of life come in here, and it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can give them hope, there's a sign when you first come in that says hope for all who enter, and that's our goal. If we can help people have hope,
mm-hmm.
And we are a blatantly Christian organization,
yeah.
and so our hope is in Christ,
mm-hmm.
and we try to help them see that every day. That of course there is hope, and we pray with them. We pray with residents,
yeah.
And they know we care. We may mess up in a lot of ways, but yeah. they know we care. So that's mm-hmm. what's most important.
That support. Is...
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I tease them that they care too much because some people, like when they leave, are like, oh, I don't want to. I'm gonna miss all of you guys. It's like, I know, but you know. That's the price we pay, I guess, for caring. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
Again, I just want to thank Debbie for interviewing and answering questions for us. Now, Mike and Rashiel will continue to talk about homelessness and unemployment.
How would you say people can get involved with an organization, or how can they help homelessness?
So what they can do in terms of helping the homeless is, first of all, give them a second chance regardless of their past. Second of all, offer them a job. So that comes into giving them a second chance. So regardless of how long they were homeless for or when they were homeless, let them have a second chance, let them have a job. Make affordable housing. So after they start making money and they have a job, let's make housing affordable. Let's not make it crazy expensive so that they can afford to stay in their houses, get a house, and live their daily lives. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that was very good. What I would say is people can get involved with organizations pretty easily because I feel organizations are always looking for some sort of help, whether it's donating clothes, donating food. Maybe if you see homeless people on the streets and you're able to offer them a job, like you said, that'd be very good for them to offer them a job, get them back on their feet. And then if you see someone on the street and you can't like give them anything or give them a job or any food or clothes, just, you know, try to make them smile, make their day better in some way, shape, or form. So
yes, but I just want to, sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good.
But I just want to make the point that just because you make them smile doesn't mean that solves the fact that they're homeless or improves the fact that they're homeless. So, I mean, we have to do something about it. At least, like, let's say if you can't, I mean, you can always do something for them, right? If you're driving in a car and you drive by them, you can give them maybe a dollar, or you can go get them food or do something like that. What I would recommend doing is getting them food, so that way, because, you know, like, I'm not picking on them or anything, but you know, like, how a lot of homeless people do drugs and they do that kind of stuff, right? They get into bad things when you give them money. Again, I don't say all of them, but some of them, they get into buying cigarettes and that kind of stuff, right? So instead, I think it would be the best to get them food, so that way you know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes complete sense. So you were looking at homelessness in Bloomington Normal, right?
Bloomington, Illinois, yes, Bloomington Normal.
What are, like, the statistics, if you know any off the top of your head, that,
like the numbers?
Yeah.
So I don't remember exactly how many homeless people there are here in town, but according to one of my sources that I used, it said that, you know, West Market Street, right?
Yes.
So it said that there were 20 people... about 20 people living in an encampment off of West Market Street of homeless people.
All right, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, not the exact number, but how many there were in one area of town.
Yeah. So in Chicago, much bigger city than Bloomington Normal.
So obviously more problems.
Yeah, a lot more problems. So from my research, I saw that there's around 58,273 people homeless in Chicago currently, and 138,471 people at risk of becoming homeless. And I also saw in my research that males are actually more likely to become homeless, and that out of every 10,000 males, 22 of them are homeless. And for women, out of every 10,000 of them, 13 of them become homeless. So I just thought that was a pretty crazy statistic. So how would you say people, like, become homeless? Like,
homeless? How do? Yeah. What are some reasons people become homeless?
Yeah.
So I think the first and foremost is mental illness. I think the fact that, I mean, mental illness is a big issue, right, here in the United States and all around the world. But I think because people are mentally ill and they're unable to work, I think that is one of the reasons they become homeless. Because the thing is, if you're mentally ill, if you're severely mentally ill, then you're not going to be able to work. And if you're not going to be able to work, then you're not going to be able to pay the bills. And if you're not going to be able to pay the bills, then you're going to lose your house and you're going to become homeless. So that's one reason. Second reason is the fact that I don't remember what the other reasons are, but this is the one main reason I can think of. Obviously, obviously, because if they lose their job and all of that happens, that could lead to it too. They lose their job, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So what I would say is how people become homeless is they could start off from childhood. They could just have, like, bad childhood trauma, and then, you know, they don't really get to live to their full potential because of how they were raised. Like, maybe their parents were not around, or even when they were around, maybe they could have been abusive, maybe doing drugs.
Yeah. I never thought about that. It's a good point you're bringing up.
Yeah. And then some other reasons, maybe they have been arrested in their past and they can't find jobs because now people want to hire someone with a criminal record.
Yes, sure.
So
in that case, I mean, we're not talking about the past, but I mean, we're only talking about the reasons they've been homeless. But in that case, they cannot commit crimes, not get arrested, and they don't have to be homeless. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what I meant when I said, like, we're not going to go into, like, them committing crimes or anything. We're just talking about the reasons they've been homeless. But I'm just saying, in that case, they could prevent that by not committing crimes.
Yeah.
You agree, right? I mean, that's common sense here.
Yeah. What would you say the dangers are of being homeless?
So obviously, there are many dangers to being homeless. Obviously, you face a lot of threats. You can, if you're mentally ill and if you're not functioning, you can get run over by cars, and you can even, your entire life is in danger. You can, if you're sleeping in the middle of, let's say, for example, I mean, speaking of homelessness in Bloomington Normal, I've seen homeless people sleep on benches and parks and that kind of stuff on playgrounds. So maybe someone, if you're sleeping, like someone could step over you, you can get hurt. I've seen homeless people sleep on the ground where people don't see that that's where they're sleeping, so they can get hurt, they can get run over. If they're like crazy people out there, they can even get murdered, and they can even get shot and killed. So there are many, many major dangers to being homeless.
Yeah. So yeah, what I would say is it's very dangerous being homeless, and I saw a story about a man named Joseph Cromelis, mm-hmm. and this was in Chicago. Mm-hmm. He was just on the sidewalk, just sitting there, and he was assaulted mm-hmm. and then set on fire. And,
seriously?
Yeah, and then he was put into critical condition just while sitting on the street, just for.
How was he put on fire? I'm just interested to know.
I don't exactly know how.
But like, but what?
I'm guessing
who,
like.
But who put him on fire? And like, just wondering, why would, what reason would they have to put him on fire?
For no reason at all. He was just.
Was it police officers, or was it a random citizen doing it?
It was random citizens.
Okay. Yeah. And so see, that's dangerous. I mean, people can try to threaten your life.
And then also some other dangers, I would say, being especially in Illinois and being homeless, is come wintertime, if you're living on the streets, like, it's going to be very cold. Like, you're going to be freezing to death, basically.
Yeah. You can even get sick and die in the snow if you can't get anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all we have for today. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening, everyone. I'm Michael.
And I'm Rashiel.
And we'll get you next time.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. My name is Rashiel Patel, and this pre-recorded interview features my guest, Ryan Arbuckle. Ryan lived as a homeless person, and I thought his insight would be helpful in understanding the homeless experience.
So after I ended up living with my mom, kind of some fights, and mm-hmm. got the police kind of involved, I ended up living with my dad. We got into fights over money because basically, mm-hmm. One of the things is that you can't really get a job without transit.
That's very much the case.
And if anyone says otherwise, they're either shilling for Connect Transit or have never ridden the bus, mm-hmm. but you cannot get a job if you take the bus. I've had employers outright say, yeah, you're qualified. You're actually one of the most qualified people ever, but you ride the bus, so I can't hire you.
Mm-hmm. But that's just dumb. I mean, as long as they can work, why do they look at it that way?
The bus service is unreliable, mm-hmm. Partially because it has fixed stops. Mm-hmm. At a fixed time. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, you miss your bus stop. You know, it's not like I can, if I had, like I drove here because I have my own vehicle. Mm-hmm. That is it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, I'm 5 minutes late. I can just, break a few laws and get to work on time. And that's what employers are really after. Is whereas if I'm 5 minutes late for that, I have to wait a half hour to catch a bus.
Mm-hmm. So how long were you homeless for, and what did you do while you were homeless, I guess? Like, where were you, what were you doing when you were homeless?
Okay, I was homeless for about 3 years.
3 years, okay. That's a decent amount of time.
Yeah. First, it was about a year at the Home Sweet Home Mission, mm-hmm. and the second 2 years were at the Safe Home. What did I do all the time?
I mean, yeah, nothing. Did you just stand out with the sign and beg, or how'd you handle it yourself to get money? How'd you survive, basically?
I had a job at repairing vacuum, ostensibly repairing vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
Unbreakable vacuum cleaner,
mm-hmm, yeah,
for commission. So I was making like 50.
Yeah,
I mean, I was making, and then actually about halfway through, a guy came in on parole, mm-hmm. to my homeless shelter.
Out of prison?
Yep, straight from prison.
Must have been a convicted felon.
Yes, he is. And he was big into computers. Mm-hmm. And so was I. And then he's like, hey, Ryan, you know if you go to college, they pay you, because, well, that's okay. But he's like, hey, yeah, if you go to college, they pay you money because of the Pell Grant. Because it'll take care of the tuition, plus you get a little extra.
Yeah.
So I ended up here. This is like before they even built this location. We actually, me and him actually enrolled in the old location, you know, over in the little strip mall.
Yeah. Again, this isn't Leroy, right?
No, this is here.
Oh, here.
Well, yeah, what happened was after my, you know, after my mom and dad were both in Bloomington. Mm-hmm. So were the homeless shelters.
Mm-hmm.
My bad, I forgot to.
No, you're fine.
So when I came here, I literally had nothing, like I said, you know, except for the clothes on my back and a PlayStation. By the time I got to the homeless shelter, I didn't even have the PlayStation. So I ended up going here and got about halfway through a degree until I realized that I can get a job at the Pizza Hut I live next to. So by then, we actually ended up saving up enough money to buy, get a place. He's still my roommate and best friend today, by the way. He's actually at home sleeping.
The guy that got out on parole?
Yeah.
Oh, is he nice? I mean,
oh, he's a great guy.
What did he go to prison for, if you don't mind talking about
something? He prefers not to talk about that.
Oh, okay. He prefers not to talk about that, but like, I was wondering, if you don't mind, no force or anything, do you mind sharing some of that?
It's not exactly a crime people tolerate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why I said that, so.
How long was he in prison for?
About 7 years, I believe.
So how did you get yourself out of being homeless?
We ended up becoming friends. The way I see it is he did his time, you know, and so basically all his, you know, for lack of a better term, all his sins are washed clean.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term, he did his time, you know, he paid his debt to society. So I just like, hey, you know, cause that's, so I don't like have anything against him.
Yeah.
And we ended up, he ended up getting some money in from his family and from college, mm-hmm. started a place, you know, got a place. And then I moved in like 3 days later, and we've been there for the last 20 years. They keep jacking up the rent every time, mm-hmm. every time it gets sold.
Yeah.
That's what got me out of college was here in a vehicle.
So did you go to school here?
Yeah.
Oh, so you came, you went to Heartland. Okay.
Yeah, I'm an alumni. I have 2 degrees.
Okay. So wait, what did you major in?
At first, I didn't know. Okay, I actually went to school here twice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The first time I stopped because I got a part-time job that paid more.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing you'll find. Okay. It was a little disorder, but I just want to
say. Yeah, no problem.
One thing the homeless tend to do is they tend, okay, how familiar are you with Maslow's hierarchy?
Never heard of that. What is it?
It's from psychology. You'll learn in Psych 101.
Okay.
Basically, a guy named Maslow stated that people built a pyramid. It's also known as Maslow's pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, that the idea is that they care more about is that they have their base needs like shelter, food, water.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have higher needs like personal development, mm-hmm. interpersonal relationships, etc. And basically, like the more higher the need, mm-hmm. the more likely it is that person will ignore it or a lower need. Because if you're worried about, you know, a place to sleep, you're not exactly going to be thinking about your career development.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, obviously the place to sleep is more important. That's
a one thing that a lot of homeless people do is they're so used to that. They're so used to needing that a lot of times long-term development is, you know, just not happening because they're constantly thinking about their short-term needs, even to the point where even though I was no longer homeless,
yeah.
that mindset, you know, still is there. Yeah. And it's still there to this day, actually. 20 years later, I have to fight it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I constantly am thinking short-term needs over long-term, because you've been, you know, because the thing is that after a while, you basically end up, you know, your brain basically gets wired to think like.
Yeah.
But anyway, I ended up, you know, getting, you know, stopping going to college to concentrate on a part-time job because it paid more. Eventually, I lost the job because that store got bought up by corporate. Corporate didn't like the idea that someone being ever. The only reason why I didn't run the store was I didn't have my own vehicle at the time.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. a couple of years on unemployment because, you know, they had it wasn't the pandemic unemployment. This was before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But they had like a similar thing where they just kept, you know, because of the Great Recession or whatever.
Yeah.
So I was on unemployment for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then I came here, I should work. So I tried to become a CNA. I was horrible at it.
What degree did you want to work
on? I actually wanted a nursing degree. My proficiency is in IT. I am great at IT, but I also remember my stepmother, who was the one who actually got me into IT,
mm-hmm.
hated it. She hated it. She was really good at it.
She was really good at it and she didn't like it.
She only went in for the money because back then IT could actually, if you were an IT tech, you could actually make money.
And even today, like, IT is a really well-paying profession. I mean, they make millions of dollars.
Actually, it's not as good as you
can. Oh, really?
Basically, with IT, there are so many people who think that they go into IT, and then there's just so much labor supply that employers are like, yeah, we don't have to pay you enough. And it's not, I mean, back in the 80s and 90s, it's like, we will get you anything you want. We don't care if it's even legal. We just want to hire you. Whereas now it's like, they can just pick and choose.
So how did you, I guess, like, some questions would be, did you face any threats, or did you ever feel scared or your life was in danger while you were homeless?
No.
I guess, what was the worst experience you had being homeless?
Is it
as bad as people think it is?
It is as bad. Illinois is a very bad place.
Mm-hmm. Chicago especially.
No, Illinois. The entire state.
Yeah, I know.
Not Chicago.
No, I know. I'm saying, but like, Chicago's bigger than, like, Chicago's a city, right? So, I mean, probably they'll be the worst over there is what I'm...
No, the only thing is actually because with Home Sweet Home, I don't know if they still do or not, but back then it was a 24-hour shelter so you could stay inside out of the cold. But the Salvation Army mm-hmm. back then was working out of a literally condemned building mm-hmm. that the city of Bloomington allowed them because they're that was the only reason why they allowed them. And due to their staffing, they kicked you out because they didn't have any real staffing. They had like one, because that's all they could afford. So in the day, it was real, you know, you had to deal with the heat, the cold, all that. Mm-hmm. Illinois climate is very bad for being homeless. That's why you see a lot of homeless in Chicago. Mm-hmm. There, you know, it's like, it's hot, but humans are better at dealing with heat. Yeah, but that's probably the biggest challenge is finding a place to stay during winter. Yeah, I don't know if Township still does it. Back in the day, Township would give you a one-way ticket to anywhere, basically anywhere not here.
Yeah.
And the idea was basically to offload their homeless problem onto other people, which is part of California, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one of the things that is a big thing for the homeless here. Before our interview, you mentioned the panhandlers, you know, and I know you've probably seen them up on like Main and Rab. You'll see the guy standing on the island with a sign.
Yep. That's what I was asking you about. Like, did you do that when you were homeless? Like, no, because you said you were in the homeless shelters, right?
Yeah. The homeless shelters will feed you. They'll hook you up and everything, but they're full because they just don't have any capacity. But those guys panhandling, not real homeless.
Oh. And what are they?
They're just people trying to bilk money out of kind-hearted people.
Oh, okay. So I guess, good thing you told me. So I guess the question is, how can you identify if a homeless is real or if a homeless is a fake, pretending to be homeless?
For lack of a better term, there's an old term, gaydar.
Okay.
You know, I know you've probably heard of it, where you can like identify a person as homeless.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's something similar with the homeless. A lot of homeless people, I'm going to show you here. I'll show you them.
Oh, okay.
They're a specific pose to the homeless.
And again, you don't mind me recording this, right?
Go for it.
Okay.
Right against the wall.
And they're fake.
No, these are the real homeless.
Oh, they're the real. Okay.
Yeah, the real homeless, they're sitting, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times you'll see them and they're dressed like real warmly. Like they'll have like longer coats on. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not wearing sandals. They're wearing like, no, that are in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you'll see them like this
mm-hmm.
against like a gas
line. Yeah.
But that's one of the keys. That's one of the easy ways to find
them. Again. What you just showed me is real homeless, right? That's what the real homeless.
Yeah, that's what the real homeless.
Okay.
Around here, mostly because panhandling, homeless, not attention.
And then, what do the fake homeless do?
They're the ones that are panhandling. They're the one because the thing is that's a job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a well-paying job, actually.
Oh, it's a job? Panhandling?
Yeah.
Oh, so like when you stand outside with a sign saying homeless, that's a job.
Yeah, because people give you money.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that makes
sense. Yeah, I mean, it's literally, they're going out there to make money.
Yeah, so they're just going there, standing with a sign so they get paid.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I tried helping one of them out at least, because I had a coat that didn't fit me. I'm like, hey, dude, you're cold. Here, take this coat. It doesn't fit me.
Yeah.
Because I bought it off Amazon and they have weird sizes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a high-vis coat is back. Because, and that's another place you'll see homeless a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the people out panhandling, they're not, you know, very rarely are they actually homeless,
mm-hmm.
but it's a great scam to get people.
Wow, I did not know that. Learned something from you. So just to be clear, most of the time, those people that are standing out with signs saying homeless are not homeless.
Or, yeah, they may be, it may be that they're close to being homeless or underhoused or something like that, but the true, like, homeless lifers, for lack of a better term, they're just sitting there, you know, they're back to a wall or something like that. You know, they're trying to not be seen, because when they get seen, that's when the police, and they don't want to deal with the police.
Yeah.
The guys panhandling, they get chewed off by the police all the time.
Yeah.
Because what they're doing is basically a huge hazard to them and the trap.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just trying to see what other questions I might have for you, or any other interesting things you have.
Yeah. To also, the homeless tend to dress warm.
Yeah.
Body heat's a big.
Yeah.
So you'll see a lot of them wearing baseball caps. Try to keep there, because your head loses a lot of heat.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see hoods, you know, basically a lot of things to try to stay warm.
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing. But it'll also, a lot of times you'll see that their clothes are kind of like disheveled, a little dirty,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they don't have access to laundry.
So do you work at Home Sweet Home right now?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't work at either of the homeless shelters. I actually work from home for a temp agency.
A tech agency?
Yeah, they do tech.
Oh, okay. Well,
I hope so, because that's one of my degrees in.
Yeah.
Computer networking technology.
So your degree's in IT, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so you are in IT right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all because of a felon who made me realize that I actually do like IT. It's just that my stepmother didn't, because she just did it for the money. She's actually a nutritionist.
No, she is?
Oh. Yeah, a dietitian, I bet. She'd be angry if I called her a nutritionist.
So did you go to college? Did you transfer from over here?
No, I actually graduated here. All my college is here.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you didn't transfer to ISU or UIUC in Champaign or anything?
Nope. All I got is just 2 associate's degrees. I ended up having to beg the financial aid department to let me finish my last semester.
Mm-hmm.
Because my financial, but on the condition that I get both of those degrees, the degree I was working on originally, which is just like a generic associate of art, I got a degree, and then I got an associate of applied science in computer networking.
Okay.
So I can actually tell you, so basically if you're a gamer, I can actually tell you why Wi-Fi sucks.
Okay.
But one thing I wanted to say ever since I heard about this was how to get out of homeless.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I think would probably make more than anything else.
Yeah.
Get a car.
But if you don't have money, because usually homeless people don't have money. So like,
yeah.
In this case, I mean, if you're homeless, how can you get a car?
Exactly. Oh yeah, that's the hard part, is getting the money.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could, but most homeless people could easily scrounge up, say, a couple bucks to get at least a day. I believe the Salvation Army actually hands them out as well. But get some sort of shelter. That's the first step, is get some sort of shelter. You know, get a tent, you know, you can get them at Walmart for like, what, 20 bucks?
Mm-hmm.
So with tax, connect transit fees and everything, it'd be about 25, 30 bucks. You know, find a place that will let you set it up. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the hard part. Normal is very, very intolerant toward the home. Bloomington's also intolerant, but not to the degree Normal. That's why there are no homeless shelters in Normal. Normal is extremely intolerant toward the home. Bloomington, on the other hand, like, just recognizes that, yeah, the home exists, we have some, but the people there are pretty intolerant toward the homeless. But yeah, first thing, get a tent. You may have to end up getting a job, you know, getting like a complete shit job, but you're homeless. You don't have any housing. So get that one job that actually will accept you, you know, for taking the bus. Another thing would be find free internet. That's the one thing that's actually kind of made me mad here, was they no longer offer free internet for the community. When I was a student here, they actually did, Heartland actually offered free internet for the community. It was like 2 hours a day. You got a temporary login. But so I was going to email you, because I don't have phone service, because it's like, why would I have phone service? Nobody calls me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I never call anyone. No one calls me. So.
Oh, so you just communicate by email?
Yeah. So I was going to email you, but they don't have internet here. I can't get on the Wi-Fi. It's like, you're doing a great service to the community there, Heartland.
So you said, once again, you were homeless in Leroy, right?
No, I was homeless in Bloomington Normal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I was never homeless in Leroy. It was entirely within Bloomington Normal.
Because mm-hmm. You said you lived in Leroy.
Yeah, I lived in Leroy. But when my grandmother, when my grandfather passed, mm-hmm. I lived there for a couple months. Then my grandma got too sick. So me and her both moved here to Bloomington. So yeah, if I was homeless in Leroy, has no homeless. There are no homeless people in Leroy.
It's because it's probably a smaller town.
Partially it's a smaller town. Partially it's a wealthier.
Yeah. Oh, it's wealthier. Nice.
Not really.
Well, I mean, you said it's a wealthier town. So I mean, it's one of those. It's nicer. If it's wealthier, right?
Nope.
Oh, it's the opposite.
It's just, it's not the opposite. It's just like here. There's a nice area of Leroy. There's an area of Leroy where poor people. Check the timer. I don't want to get late for work. Okay, I got plenty.
And this, you don't have to fill this out or anything, but I couldn't find this. I mean, I just found it. But this is the information sheet, and it's just basically saying, why am I doing the interview? Who's conducting the interview? And that's just what it
is. Okay, that's cool. But
you don't have to sign it or anything.
Yeah, I read fast. One thing I learned when I was in jail was how to read fast.
Wait, you were in jail? jail too?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was only that friend of yours that said he was in jail.
No, no, I spent a month in jail for domestic battery for getting into a fight with.
Oh.
Yeah, so I can't own a gun. Not in America, anyway. In Prague, if I go to the Czech Republic, oh yeah.
Have you been anywhere out of the U.S.?
No, but I've talked to a lot of people outside of them.
Yeah, so you have experience to some different cultures, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because my family's from India.
I kind of figured that. It's kind of hard not to notice.
Yeah, because I'm because the way I look, right?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, family's from India.
So is his, actually.
What?
My roommate's family's from India. His dad, I've met his dad a couple times. Great guy. Still has the act. The most stereotypical Indian accent, and it's strong.
Wait, so your roommate, is he Indian?
He's happy.
Oh.
His mom's white.
The guy that went to jail?
Yeah.
Well, he's half Indian? Interesting.
Yeah, about the same skin tone as you. His dad is, like, really dark.
Mm-hmm. So what part of India? Wait, what's his name?
My roommate's name is Ken.
Ken?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought he would have an Indian name. But okay.
No, no. His middle name is Thrampalathala.
Okay.
It's spelled Thazampalathu. He pronounces it Thrampalathala. I don't know. What his dad says it's actually pronounced Thazampalathu, but I don't know which one it is.
What part of India is he from?
His dad's from Kerala. Ken's
Kerala? From. I've been there.
Yeah.
Been to Kerala. Wait, and mom is white, right?
Yeah, his mom's white and she's
from Lincoln, Illinois. Okay, so dad's Indian, mom's American.
Yeah. Yeah, and there was some family stuff with that one too, because his dad was betrothed and had a child before outside of wedlock and all that. So I'm familiar. I know you're familiar with that.
Yeah. I mean, I know all about India, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, exactly. I expect you to know about your culture.
Yeah, I know all about that. I've been to Kerala. It's a beautiful place with the tea gardens and temples and all that.
Yeah, he's never been there.
Oh, he's never been there? So, wait, who?
My roommate.
Oh, he's never been there. Okay.
No, his dad has definitely been there. He's from there.
Yeah, he's from there. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I don't like that use of pronouns. Because when you talk about multiple people, the use of pronouns just gets ambiguous.
So I'm wondering, is he Hindu or Christian or what religion is he?
He's not. He's not religious. Ken's dad is religious.
Mm-hmm.
He's very much.
Oh, he's a Christian. Okay.
Yeah, like hard. But Ken's very much.
So has Ken been anywhere out of the United States?
Oh, yeah. He was deployed. He was a Marine.
Oh, okay. So he's probably traveled a lot then.
Yeah.
He hasn't been to India? That's the thing.
Yeah, he's not been to India. They actually wanted him to. Yeah, he said they wanted to do be undercover for anti-terrorist stuff because he looks like to the point that even Arabs think he's an Arab.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess
now that you told me what to do to get out of homelessness, what should you do to not get into it? So like, what are ways to avoid becoming homeless?
It depends. First of all, one, don't lose your day. If you're expecting homelessness, like say, you know, under the Warren Act, Rivian is shutting down. Because Rivian, okay, dirty secret here. Rivian only has enough money to last for 3 years.
Oh, sucks.
Yeah.
Did not want to know that, but okay.
Yeah, that's why their stock, like, was huge, and then everyone realized, oh shit, they have no cash flow because they're not, and that's why their stock is like, it's like literally looking at Ruby's stock, it's like this huge thing, and then everybody realized it was overvalued because they have because they're not making vehicles. Even then, they've only sold like what they only delivered like what nine, they're not even at 25,000. That's their goal.
Mm-hmm.
So say you know, I was using them as an example because they're the one I can think of off the top of my head. They're, you know, so if you're expecting to be home, get a minivan. Minivans are dirt cheap. It's a place to sleep because you can just rip all the seats out and there's enough room for a pair of adults to sleep and there's enough room for clothing. That's, like I said, if you're expecting homelessness and can do something about it, get a minivan. Because now you have a transportation to a job, shelter from the weather. And the other thing is that you can relocate. That's something a lot of people don't get. If you have a vehicle, that is like the big, that's like basically the way out of home. It's also a big way to avoid it because now you're not stuck to a commute. So I, you know, it's like, hey, there's no jobs here. I can go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But that's, like I said, that's if you have like the ability to prepare. Like say all of a sudden lightning struck my place of work and I'm out of job, you know, act of God, whatever. And you're living paycheck to paycheck, so you got no savings. First and foremost, one, if you have a home, there's a lot of things that, if you have a home and it's a rental, because you know, if you own, you're probably not going to worry about being homeless. You know, but you're renting. This is a complete dick move, but to do. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, my profanity, but this is
Yeah, you're all good.
Yeah. Okay. But this is a complete dick. But it is within the law. Don't move out when you get the eviction. The eviction notice is legally a notice that the landlord will file for eviction. Okay. Obviously, all this time you're going to try to pay your rent. You know, get a new job. Things like that, obviously do those, but you know, worst comes to worst, don't move out until you're court ordered to get to be evicted. Because that's the thing, is that the landlord has to take you to court for the eviction.
Yeah.
That's something a lot of people don't know. And that takes time. That means there's more time, you know, for you to get a job, for you to start paying back, you start paying rent, make arrangements with the landlord, things like that. Also, you know, depending upon your credit, take out loan. That's better than homeless.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is that it basically boils down to how much time do you have to prepare. And but that's like the big thing, is for if you're expecting homeless, you know, obviously try, you know, basically what you want to do is you want to consolidate, you know, around things like a smaller apartment that you can afford, or basically, you know, living out of a van, you know, because say I work at Rivian, I make $20 an hour, I got like, say, you know, I got like no expenses because I'm a single male, you know, living dump basically. And then I can go and purchase like a van or an SUV, something where I can sleep in without getting, you know, in a Walmart parking lot without someone tapping on my window to tell me to move. Another thing would probably, you might want to learn, is what the community helps. One thing is
shower.
Hygiene is a problem. It's a big problem. I know Subaru a while ago tried to help out the homeless. They gave them like shampoo and stuff. I suggested actually that instead of that, they use a no rinse perennial clean. Okay. I don't know how versed you are in medical stuff.
I've heard of so. I mean, I would know a decent amount of stuff about it.
Yeah. So you know what a no rinse perennial?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that it doesn't require a shower. Like I said, hygiene is one of the biggest challenges to homeless space. But yeah, Heartland, you know, wanted to, they could easily put in showers and an area for homeless to suffer. And they're probably the only people in Normal that could control the city government town government and letting them get away with it.
But I don't think Heartland would do that, though.
They won't. You know, because honestly, Heartland doesn't really care about the community. Don't care about the community. They say they do, they don't.
Yeah.
Everybody is very ivory tower. They want to have, they care about their people, and that's and that's one of the problems the homeless face. It's just everybody cares about their own and nobody else. But if somebody wants to help the homeless, showers, a place to set up a tent. I mean, we're not talking, you know, maybe what, $20,000. I mean, the most expensive thing would probably be the land, because land's never, and getting plumbing and the water for the shower. But yeah, set up showers, set up a place for tents, and you'll do a lot more for the homeless than 90% of what these companies are doing. Because most of these companies are just like, oh yeah, we'll donate, we'll throw money at it. First thing I learned, throwing money at things never worked. You see a homeless guy, get him a sandwich. And that's where something else that I know you're thinking, okay, you've heard the stereotypes. Homeless people are mentally ill and they're drug and alcohol users.
Yep, and they don't want to work. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, I know you've heard this. Partly true, actually very much true. A lot of, and sometimes it depends on why, okay? Sometimes, yeah, there's a mental illness or an addiction that just makes it so they, you know, they get fired from their job or whatever, and then they end up home. Sometimes, and a lot of times, it's the other way around. Homelessness, boring, fuck.
Yep, that's what I was expecting.
It is boring. And so what you want to do, you just drink your day away.
Yeah. So, I mean, what can you do if you're homeless? There's literally nothing you can do. Worst case scenario, you get hit by a car and you die.
That's not even the worst case scenario.
Oh, what is the worst case scenario?
You don't die. Instead, you're just in a lot of pain with a huge hospital bill.
Oh yeah, true.
One thing that homeless people have done is actually in fact, a guy I know actually,
mm-hmm.
intentionally made a bomb threat just to go to prison.
He made a what? Bomb threat?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just to go to prison.
Wow.
Because prison is three hots and a cot. It's shelter and food. Mind you, it's intentionally substandard food and substandard shelter. And it's not just because they're cheap. It's intentionally.
Yeah. I guess then in this case, the question would be, I guess it's a would you rather question. Would you rather be homeless or would you rather be in jail? Which one's better?
It depends. Some on the person. Some, you know, jail does have its advantages. You have, you know, shelter, you have substandard food and all that. Mind you, you get, not only do there's beatings by the guards and all this other stuff, basically a lot of the stuff you hear about bad about here in jail,
yeah.
There's actually a report by the DOJ on the Cook County Jail.
Yeah.
I don't know if you read it or not. It's like basically like,
I've read it sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, basically like inmates who had to literally set their cells on fire just to get the attention of guards.
Wow.
All sorts of, and it's just because they intentionally have the jails. But what were we talking about?
You were talking about like, I think.
Oh, the stereotypes. Yeah,
yeah.
The other thing is that, like I said, homelessness is boring. So yeah, you want to drink your day away, and that boredom mess, and that's where you see a lot of the alcoholism, drug abuse, etc. you know, and some of the mental illness is just because of boredom.
Because they're bored.
Yeah, it's like you have nothing to do, and so you just drink your day away. TB doesn't help with that because you always see like, oh, this bad thing happens. The guy just goes and drinks himself into oblivion. So people see, so sometimes people see that and think, okay, alcohol helps. And that's where the stereotype of a lot of the guy's just panhandling to get weed or booze. And yeah, a lot of times it's true. A lot of times there is mental illness. You know, like I said, sometimes it's the cause of the homelessness, sometimes it's caused by homelessness. It's not a absolute, you know, oh yeah, this guy is homeless because he's mentally ill, you know, because the demonic voice is telling him to go and murder people, you know, stereotype of mental illness. You know, sometimes it's just something more or less, you know, simple, like this timing disorder or depression. You know, he got depressed, like his mom died or whatever, and it just made it so he was just really depressed and couldn't work. He lost his job. And then he's now homeless, which is making him even more depressed.
Yep.
And so he's like, yeah, fuck it. I'll just go drink my problems away. And then he becomes physically addicted to alcohol.
Yeah. So it's problem after problem after problem.
Yeah, homelessness is a problem amp, for lack of a better term. It's like, sometimes, yeah, because the thing is that nobody wants, you know, you'll see van lifers and all that on YouTube. They're not homeless. You know, they have a home, it's just their home is on 4 weeks. But that also does help the homeless, because now it's like, hey, yes, this is a way out of homelessness that isn't, you know, $600 a month rent. You know, it's not, you know, a huge rent check or something like that. It's just that upfront payment. But you go on Facebook and find something like, February, back when car prices were absurd, I bought a 2002 Jeep Grand Cherokee for $900. I mean, you know, you don't have to buy a nice car. You have to buy something that moves under its own power.
Yeah.
And then I put $5,000 worth of work into it, but.
And, okay, so just wondering, how hard is it to get out of being homed? How long?
How hard is it?
Yeah, and how long?
I
mean, you know why, you understand why I would ask that, right? Like.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, because for me, it took about a year. And the hardest part is getting the money. Hardest part about getting out of homelessness is money. Homelessness is expensive.
Yeah.
Because you can't go and prepare meals, so you have to buy them from a convenience store and get gas. You can't drive anywhere, so you have to take the bus and get gas.
Yeah.
Because it's what's kind of transit charging, like, what, a dollar now? But what it took for me, coming here, because now I had money from the Pell Grant. I had, you know, and that's the big thing, is that I had money from the Pell Grant. Because it's not exactly, because it's more or less regular income, you know, take out student loan.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting, you know, there's a huge debate on the whole forgiveness thing, because it encourages college to basically do the same thing but more.
Yeah.
But you're homeless. You don't have, you know, the capacity to worry about a national debate. You have to worry about you. And that's also where a lot of the homeless end up, is there is a very weird cross between self-centered and tribal mentality. Okay. They're basically, a lot of them have no problem helping out other people because they've been there. They know us. Well, we know us. But at the same time, though, you gotta look out for yourself. If you can't, one of the people I talked to, one of my customers, like I said, I do tech support.
Yeah.
Said, pay yourself first. If you can't help yourself, you're not helping anyone else. I talked to him for like an hour and a half for a 5-minute problem, because it was just, a lot of it was just him, you know, explaining that whole thing constantly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you can't help yourself, then how are you going
to
help other people?
You got to be able to help yourself in order to help other people.
Exactly. Like, and he's explained it as pay yourself.
While you were homeless, did you make any like friends or anything like that? Again, I just keep.
You don't really think of them as. They're not really friends, but yeah, you do make acquaintances. There are some times where you actually make friends, like my roommate. Me and him became.
Was he homeless too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember, he was paroled to my homeless shelter.
Oh, okay, yeah. I remember you said he was in jail, but I was wondering if he'd been homeless before.
No, he wasn't homeless. I ended up meeting him because I gouged him on a trench, literally.
Yeah.
I sold it to him for $20, thinking, okay, I can get these trench coats anywhere. And remember I said about the homeless tending to dress warm and have dirty clothing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I sold him this, like, really nice trench coat. To me, it's like, okay, it's a trench coat, it's something to keep. To him, he's like, this is a linen foil trench coat, and this sucker is selling it to me for $20? He then went and had his aunt dry clean it for, like, you know, spend, like, $300 dry cleaning it or something. Some absurd amount dry cleaning it because it was so dirty. But to me, it was something to keep warm. To him, it was like, okay, this sucker. That's how we met. I literally was, because I swindled him and he swindled me for a trench. Then we found out that we both like computers, friendship developed, all that.
So what does your roommate do now?
He's disabled.
He's disabled?
Yeah, he has multiple sclerosis.
Okay.
So he basically just sits at home and does nothing. He can't.
Oh, he can't work? Then does he have any? Again,
he gets a disability pension from the VA.
Okay, I don't mean to get into his personal life, but I'm just wondering, does he have family that supports him?
Oh, yeah, his father supports him. After his stepmother passed, him and his father reconnected because there was no longer that, you know, societal pressure. So basically, and his father is actually a wealthy businessman down in
town. Oh, nice.
And has tried to get us both to move there. His father really likes
him. Is he a nice guy?
Oh, yeah, he's great.
Well, see, so... Did he had a stepmother, but did he have a real mother? Like, was his dad married in the first place or
no? No, his dad and his mom were not, which is where a lot of the issue comes from, because his biological parents were not married. And then his dad married the woman he was betrothed to. And the woman he was betrothed to basically hated the fact that my roommate exists, not to mention that he's male and the only male. So he's got three sisters, but he's the one that gets everything because he's the guy.
So where do you guys live right now? Where do you live here in town?
Yeah, I just live down the street over on Gulf Crest.
Oh, okay. So you still live here in town though, right?
Yeah.
Cool. You and your roommate?
Yeah. We live in a little shithole apartment in Gulf Crest that we get gas for $5.70 a month. And this room, it literally, like that wall, that wall is bigger than my apartment.
Wow. So do you ever, like, now that you're out of homelessness and now you have an apartment, do you ever plan on moving into your first house?
Probably not. Honestly, just housing is really expensive. I thought about it, but my credit is... He is eligible for a VA home loan, but the VA basically wants a lot of stuff done, especially because it has to be handicapped accessible. Yeah, the VA basically does not want to buy, like, a meth lab. Best way to put it, they don't want to, like, buy, like, this old meth lab. You know, like, hey, yeah, there's, like, a hole in the roof that you could climb through.
So...
Yeah, although where we live, they've actually... You have had a meth lab over in Unit 1. Yeah, Unit 1 was a meth lab. Unit 4 had a guy deported for selling drugs. So yeah, right by where we live, a guy got shot like 3. So yeah, we don't live in a good area. And it's still $600 for a tiny little apartment. And that's one of the things that Ruben's actually making work, because now people are coming here, they want jobs. So demand for housing and supply for low-end housing isn't keeping. I make almost as much as for the people at Ruben. It's like, I factored it and just napkin math. It's like, if I wanted to go and work for Ruby, and I wouldn't make any more money because now I have to have a commute. I'd probably be purchasing lunch from there instead of just whatever I can grab from my fridge. Mm-hmm. You know, not to mention the fact that I'm no longer working from home, so I can't take care of my roommate if he needs something.
Oh, you're not working from home? I thought you said that
No, I'd no longer be home. That's part of the reason why I don't work for Rivian.
Okay.
Yeah, it's because since I work from home now, thanks to COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah, our help desk always had a trouble because when we work at the office, you could see the floor plan for the building, and there's like this one little spot of ultra compacted cubes, and that was our help. So they've always had a problem placing us. Then it's like work from home. It's like, this solves all our problems, because like my team had to literally like rent out a conference every time we had a. Yeah, and if anyone from my help desk is listening, yeah, you guys know who I am.
Yeah.
But that's part of the reason why I don't work from roommate is because I can't take care of my roommate, and it increases my cost. Not to mention the fact that I know it won't be there in 3 years because basically the only thing they have, the only long-term thing they have is their delivery van.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing they don't talk about. They talk about their trucks. They talk about their SUVs. They don't talk about their vans, and their vans are actually the best thing they got.
Yeah, go for it. So I guess the question would be, I mean, again, these are just questions I'm coming up with.
Go for it.
Questions. What are some lessons to be learned from
once
you're out of it, or I guess while you are homeless? Matters.
Big lesson, stay warm. Get out of Illinois.
Again, all of that costs money.
Not really. Like I said, I don't know if Township is still doing it or not, but they used to literally give you a one-way ticket to anywhere. It was a one-way bus ticket to anywhere out of the area.
Wow.
And that's why you see so many homeless people in California, is because a lot of places do it. And a lot of homeless people go to California because with California, they have decent weather and it's a well-known homeless place. You know, San Francisco's earned a reputation for the smell because of homeless people defecating on the streets. I can't remember, one of the cities explicitly stated that basically got ruled in court that no, you cannot arrest people for sleeping on the sidewalk because basically it's a violation of their right to exist. But another good place for being homeless is Phoenix. One of my friends, actually, from the homeless shelter, he's passed, decided to be stupid and steal money from drug deal.
He died from doing that?
Yeah, they got even.
Wait, how did he die from
that? They came after him and strung him up in a semi-trailer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like, it's drug dealers. We're not exactly talking about people that follow the law. Mm-hmm.
No, like, I was just wondering, did he got shot by police, or, how did he die?
No, the drug dealers got him.
Oh.
Yeah, they're dealing drugs, so they don't care about killing people, but they care about that money. But one of the things he said was that Phoenix is the most organized city in America, and because it's a really good spot. It's hot, but I know you've probably heard of Sheriff Arpaio.
Sheriff Joe Arpaio?
Arpaio. I thought it was Arpaio.
Yeah, I've heard of
it. Yeah. One of the things he had was a tent. His jail was, mm-hmm. You know, and you've always heard the joke about how, you know, you've always heard like, oh yeah, he just like tortures his inmates by not having coffee, by only having the Weather Channel. In reality, you know, just to troll them about the heat. In reality, yeah, he actually does have the Weather Channel to inform them about the heat because it is hot. And he did ban coffee. It was actually an inmate suggestion because hot coffee is a great weapon. Yeah, it's put on your lap. You'll know you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like I said, humans can withstand heat better than cold. And so that's where a lot of homeless move to. Is areas where it's warm, but yeah. Also, the other reason to get off Illinois is extremely regressive. We have some of the highest sales taxes in America. We have a flat tax, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of sales tax. Oh, that reminds me. Another thing, if you're homeless, quit smoking. Cigarettes are easily one of the best ways to lose your money. You're literally burning your money. And in the homeless shelter, that's one thing I saw. Everybody smoked and everybody was bumming cigarettes off each other because they were physically addicted. But that's the thing. Don't do weed. Don't smoke. Don't drink. That's literally burning and drinking your money away. I know homelessness is expensive, but save what you can.
Okay, so just a question. I'm wondering, so the people that become homeless, is any part of it their fault? Or is it like the fact that they lost their job or whatever? I guess like the question is it their fault that they became homeless? For example, you said you became homeless, right? So was it your fault that you became homeless at all?
It depends on the...
And it depends on the situation, right?
Yeah, it's not... Yeah, there is no, like, universal, like... template to being homeless.
Okay. And you understand my question, right? Like,
for
example, you became homeless. So was it your fault that you became homeless?
Oh, partially my fault. It's partially my fault for getting into fights with my parents and partly just, you know, the universe, for lack of a better term, because I was in a small town, and small towns don't have employment. It's actually a well-known economic problem with small towns that they don't have enough employment to sustain their population. You know, that's why you always see like small towns like Leroy, everybody works in Bloomington. Or you'll see like a small town in the middle of nowhere and everybody's poor. And that's just because small towns don't have the employment to sustain their population.
Yeah.
That's probably the two lessons I've learned from being homeless are to have a vehicle. Like I said, that's probably the biggest thing you can do, and to not waste your money on cigarettes, booze, etc. Because all that stuff is taxed at an absurd. I mean, literally, you pay more in taxes than you actually pay for the actual product. Another one, if you're a veteran or homelessness, a lot of veterans end up homeless. There's actually, you know, it's actually a thing. There's actually a well-known end up. Thinking about veterans being homeless, talk to the VA. The VA will help you. That's what they're there for.
Why do veterans become homeless?
Partly male. A lot of, you know, the military is still a very male organization, and homelessness is a very male problem. For example, a lot of homeless shelters don't even have female accommodations.
Yeah.
90+% of homeless people are male.
Not to mention, there are still female that are homeless.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying female aren't homeless. I've known a few, but it's more the exception than the rule. Females have a lot more access to housing. If they have children, they're basically highest priority for public housing. So there's that. Females can make children and whenever they want. And that's actually been done. That's actually been done where they'll intentionally become pregnant or have children just to get public housing. But they have more resources available to them than males do. Males, you know, better. Veterans, a lot of them have PTSD, you know, that's where you see a lot of the veteran homelessness is, you know, they're the ones that start, you know, the veterans will tend to start with a mental illness like PTSD or something like that. And I had PTSD myself, actually, not because of war, although I was in the military, I washed out, but no, mine was right after I graduated, I bought a car. And on the way home, it literally burned to the ground while I was driving it. And it's like I had flashbacks. So I'm like, wait, I'm having PTSD. This ain't right. I still get flashbacks every time I smoke. But obviously it's not as bad as, say, being in combat or something.
So what branch in the military?
Oh, I was in the Army. I watched stuff. So it's like I was in long enough to understand some of it, but not enough to actually, be affected by it. But with veterans, you're going to have more PTSD, and that's where you see start seeing things like a lot of veterans from Iraq would be the absolute worst drivers ever. Some of them would drive really slowly because of IEDs. Some of them would drive very fast because a moving target's harder to hit, and so they can, so some of them get speeding tickets. Great way to lose your money, or they'd get a reckless driving thing, or they'd hit somebody because we have roads here. It's not a flat open desert where there's a lot of nothing. Sometimes they'll get that, and then they lose their job or whatever from that. Sometimes PTSD also shows up as just depression or whatever, and they're just too depressed to work, and so for some reason or another, they don't adapt to civilian life as well as they should, civilian world thinks they should. I know, like, one guy, friend of my roommates, he worked artillery, found out and basically like went basically lost after he found out that he accidentally blew up a hospital for children.
So how many roommates do you live with?
Just Ken. Yeah. But I mean, thing is, like, infantry are exposed to combat, artillery, which is what I was supposed to be in, tends to, they find out they, blow up the wrong target and it's like friendlies or civilians or something like that, it can mess up. There's a lot of, I'm not even talking about things like TBIs or anything. This type of thing has existed for thousands of years. You've heard about the 1,000-yard stare from Full Metal Jacket, or Audie Murphy, who was like the greatest decorated soldier ever. MASH said that you could put your presence under him because he was so decorated. And he had PTSD from his time during World War II because he literally saw his best friend gunned down right in front of him by the German.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one thing where you see a lot of veterans with homelessness. It's just, Rambo. The first Rambo movie is actually about that. Don't know if you saw that one.
No, never heard of that.
Yeah, the Rambo series, the very first Rambo movie. Mm-hmm. He's actually a homeless veteran.
Nice. How much time do you have left?
Oh, about 40.
Okay.
Yeah, I specifically chose to be like way early. So I have to be at work at 10:30. And my biggest concern is, are they going to boot my Jeep or not?
Yeah, we can talk for like a few more minutes. We can talk for the rest of the 45 minutes, but then maybe last 10 minutes or last 15 minutes, I want to talk to you about other stuff after I stop.
Okay. But I think that's really about all I got. Just to summarize, a lot of the homeless stereotypes you see are true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Homelessness is sometimes with the mental illness and the addictions, sometimes it causes the homelessness, sometimes it's caused by the homeless. So, like, say, for example, there's the stereotype of veterans being homeless, veterans experience, combat veterans experience a lot of things, that cause mental illness. And the military, until recently, has been very bad about it, been very bad about mental health.
Yeah.
They're even bad about it now, to the point that the Army's actually telling leadership, their leaders, the NCOs and stuff, hey, don't just send people to behavioral health, actually get them to the help they need. Because a lot of times the Army's considered mental health to be basically like, a physical injury, like something where you just like slap a Band-Aid on it and fix it. And anyone that's been in mental health can tell you, nope, not that way. But if you're a veteran, take advantage of the veteran resource.
Yeah.
I'm saying that because I'm literally looking at the Veteran Center right there, right behind you.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to not see. The mental health, and the thing is that the addictions It's rarely just a straight addiction. There's something that caused that. There's something that caused them to start drinking. There's something that caused somebody to start taking drugs. In the 80s, it was like, oh yeah, peer pressure. The football team all goes and drinks beer after the game, even though they're all 15.
Well, not to mention, in Germany, you can drink at 14.
Yeah, but that's not cool. You're not breaking the law.
That's not good
either. Well, that's the thing, it's not fun because you're not breaking the law. Whereas, the high school football team all like going and stealing their parents' beer. By stealing means basically their dad knows. Their dad's buying the beer.
Yeah, I'm just saying, in Germany, you can drink at 14.
In Illinois, you can actually, under Illinois law, you can drink at any age.
Actually?
Yes.
I thought the U.S. age limit was 21, though.
The 21 limit is actually is semi-federal. It's federal actual age is 8K.
When you Google it, it's 21.
Yeah, it's because it may have changed, but under the federal law doesn't. But there's not what's called an enumerated power. The federal government cannot order a state to change to have a drinking age. It can only do it for its own purposes, like say a military base.
Yeah.
That's why it was always a thing where you could drink on base at 18. When they did the highway funding, though, they said, hey, yeah, if you don't have a drinking age of 21, we're not going to go and give you funds to fix your highway. Mm-hmm. And so the states were like, yeah, we'll go and make our drinking age 21. But in Illinois, if you're with your parents in your home, you can drink at any age. So yeah, your grandpa giving you beer at 5 is completely legal as long as your parents allow.
In Illinois.
Wow. Yeah, you can actually look it up. I don't know the number offhand, but just type in ILCS, which is Illinois Compiled Statutes, ILCS drinking age into Google, and it pops up.
No, that's not a good thing, is it?
Actually, yeah, it is.
It's a good thing?
Yeah,
because... Letting a five-year-old drink?
Yeah.
Why?
Have you tasted beer?
I've not.
Now imagine you're 5 and your grandpa gives you a double, you know, like a something like an IPA, which is extremely bitter. You're not going to drink beer again. That stuff tastes horrible. But also, it also eliminates the appeal of underage, because people drink underage because it's illegal. That's why weed was such a thing, was because it's illegal. Because you're breaking the law. And without that fun, you're not, you know, it's not, you know, because humans want to do things that they're told to not. It's just human.
I just think, when I was young, I always had the belief of, if you do things you're not supposed to do, it's more fun.
Exactly. And that's how a lot of people think. And, you know, it's just a human instinct. And then you have, you know, the teenagers are like, yeah, I feel older. I feel like a real man now, you know, because they have a beer in their hand. But no, under Illinois law, if you're in your parents' home, you know, if you're with your parents and they okay it, you can drink at any age. So technically under ILCS, you can literally have a baby bottle with Budweiser. Now, it's still child abuse, of course.
Again, is it a good thing or a bad thing?
I'd say it's a good thing because it eliminates that, because if it's known about, then it eliminates the appeal of underage. But it's just not something that's known about because most people don't. I was in jail. I read the law because I wanted to get out of my crime. I wanted to get out of my conviction. And being in jail, you have access to the law library. Now it's online. It's literally just a website set up by the government. It has like every law ever passed in Illinois, the creation of the new constitution. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, you're just like sniffing a lot. I don't know. I feel like you had a cold or something.
Oh, no, it's just... Yeah, I woke up and then when you're weak, you have a little bit of that. Yeah, that's all. So I guess so now I have another question. So can everyone that's homeless get out of homelessness if they try?
That's the good question, and that's also the biggest condition. A lot of people just become used. They just accept.
Which is not good.
Well, not good. Yeah, it's not good, but, you know, I mean, I did. I was like, fuck it, I can't get a job. I'll accept. But I do believe that not everyone can. Some people just, you know, for some reason, you know, can't. And a lot of it is society. A friend of mine, actually, from Russia, she told me that in the Soviet Union, there was no homeless.
Wow. Because I mean, it was communist.
Under the concept of communism at that time, part of it was that everybody was power. You know, and it's just you'll see like, and the thing is that we still have that. It's not, you know, we have that with low income and no income housing, things like that. So it's not a communism thing per se, but communism amplified it. Because it was now considered a duty to the people. You know, because the thing is that they actually did care about the people for the most part. Then you have the nomenclatura who basically like, oh yeah, we care about the people as long as it doesn't get in the way of us getting power and driving a luxury vehicle with really low keyholes, so that way you can hide behind the car while unlocking the door, because that was a feature in their luxury vehicles, ironically.
So in the Soviet Union, wow, there was no home.
Yeah, it was... Because the government made sure, you know, the idea was that the Soviet Union was not really a communist nation. They were what was called a state capital.
Okay.
So you still had personal property. That's a common misconception. You had personal property.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of letting the market decide the economy, the government decided how things. So, and it caused problems like, you know, I know you've heard about the bread line. But yeah, you could have personal possessions. You could have a car. It took 3 years on a wait list. But then again, look what's happening now. We have wait lists for about 3 years now, too.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and that's just because supply couldn't keep up with demand.
Yeah.
But while you could have a car, you couldn't own a tractor because a tractor was a means of production. And even then, they had some weirder things, like East Germany had the Trabant, which was famous for being made out of cotton. Mm-hmm. It's a weird plastic, literally made out of cotton, and all the Trabants on the road are in look immaculate because the stuff doesn't. But yeah, even though they had poverty, widespread poverty, you know, because the government wanted to use their power to actually eliminate, to actually prevent homelessness, they didn't have one. And that's the thing that can be done. You know, the government could easily eminent domain some farm, you know, some useless land, and build a high rise. How many people are homeless in Bloomington, Normal? What, a couple hundred?
I think so, yeah.
We have a couple hundred rooms here easily in one of these. That'd be huge. That'd be spacious. Like, I could probably, in the footprint of, say, one of these buildings, I could fit the entire homelessness population. It's simply about building up. But, and the thing is, the government has the power and the authority to, and the federal government always has the money. Have you heard of modern monetary theory?
Heard of it, yeah.
Okay, basically, and it's actually what video games run on for their economies of all. Although AOC talks about it. She may be weird and incessantly screaming weird things at times, but she is actually, does have a degree in economics. Mm-hmm. Under modern monetary theory, because there is no physical asset tied to money, the government can make as much money as it needs. Taxation is then not used as a means of creating revenue, but as a means of destroying excess money to prevent. And if you ever played, like, say, World of Warcraft or any other MMO, that's exactly how their economies work. They're based on the creation of whatever money is needed.
Yeah.
And then finding ways to destroy money. So it's like they'll sell like a gold, those are called gold things. It's like, hey, yes, we'll sell you this amount for like an absurd amount of gold because basically it's just a way to destroy money.
Yeah.
But the thing is that under that, the government could easily purchase land under eminent domain laws at fair market value, possibly some like completely useless, because a lot of places are not used, not have use. Illinois is blessed because we have good farmland. You're not gonna see that in Arizona. American Southwest, you can't grow any, but they could easily purchase some land in the American Southwest, maybe make part of Area 52 or 51 or whatever, you know, part of Area 51 or some other place where they set off nukes for testing. It's a little radioactive, but, and I'll come back to buy them in 50 years when they get sued, but I mean, they could easily use federal land, they could purchase land privately, but they can get some land and build basically an entire community for the homeless people. There's like, what, maybe 250,000 homeless people in America?
Probably, yeah.
So, if the federal government wanted to, they can solve the problem. It's not a problem the federal government.
Well, what's the reason behind that?
I honestly don't know.
Why wouldn't they want to solve the issue is what I'm...
That's a good question. There's some things. Some people believe that it's enforced poverty. You know, they believe that, you know, I personally believe that Democrats are enforcing poverty simply so that way they can sell it. They basically make you poor with the left hand and then sell you a way out with the right hand. Like, you'll see that, you know, that's where you see, like, a lot of the green agenda is pricing people out of. For example, EVs, you know, California wants to ban all gas-powered vehicles in, was it 2030 or 2035? But the thing is, there are no cheap EVs. It's like the Rivian that we're making here sells for $80,000. And when have you ever seen anyone driving these around here have them with even a speck of mud on? They don't drive them off-road. They're luxury. Teslas. Luxury. When was the last time you heard an ad for the Nissan Leaf?
App with the what?
The Nissan Leaf.
I have no idea.
It's a rather affordable, relatively, electric vehicle, runs for about $30,000. You never hear about it. The tax incentive, you know, the $75,000 tax or $7,500 tax incentive?
Yeah, what about?
All it did was just increase price because it's like, hey, yeah, the federal government's trying to subsidize EVs, but in reality, all they're doing is just jacking up the prices because it's like, hey, yeah, you'll get this refund, so we'll just increase the finance. Because most vehicles are not bought with cash, they're bought with finance. But EVs are also increasing electrical costs because we're increasing demand for electricity. It also is, and what Biden did for his first executive order was to cancel the Keystone XL pipeline and a lot of energy, and he also illegally stopped a lot of energy leases that raised the price of fuel.
Yeah.
Which is also the real cause of our, because oil is basically the blood of America, the blood of basically the entire world economy. Plants require oil. The Haber-Bosch process uses a lot of energy. It also uses natural gas to make ammonia, which is used for fertilizer. Not to mention transportation. You've heard of the 100-mile diet?
Yeah.
The idea was to reduce the carbon emissions by reducing the amount, you know, that's been transported, but it actually found that we're increasing carbon emissions because they had to transport a lot of fertilizer. They basically were fertilizing the land to basically bully the plants into growing. Not to mention the fertilizer itself requires a lot of carbon to make, but that's all from oil. That's all, you know, and by basically cutting America's oil production, because we did drop our oil production significantly because of COVID. I mean, you remember during COVID, oil literally was at negative values where you literally couldn't sell it. You had to pay people to take it. And now it's just because demand immediately dropped. And then we restarted the economy, but we didn't restart the oil production because we got a guy in there who didn't want to restart oil production. And now he's begging people that he insulted for more oil. And even if MBS was willing to provide the oil, he can't because he doesn't determine how much oil is being produced. OPEC, which includes Russia, who we've sanctioned on their oil. But the thing is that by making oil and energy more expensive, it makes things more expensive for the poor because now food prices have gone up, wages have gone up, which causes an inflationary death spiral. Okay, I don't know if you know much about economics.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so yeah, you know that when wages go up, costs will go up because basically those costs, the extra costs incurred from wages get passed on to the customer.
Yeah.
You know, corporate taxation, I believe, honestly, should be eliminated because when you do that, how do corporations pay their tax? They pass it on to the customer.
Yeah.
It's like, why would I pay this and cut my profits? Why am I going to raise my price? They'll pay.
Can homelessness and poverty be permanently solved forever?
Yes and no. Star Trek probably had the best idea of it with their fictional economy.
Like, you've heard of the word eradicate, right? Like, you know how COVID came, people were talking about like eradicating it, right? So I guess like the question here is the same thing. Can homelessness and poverty ever be cured? Like permanently?
I believe yes.
And it, how so? How
it would require the government to actually want it. I believe that the federal at least in America, the federal government most definitely has the power. They don't have the will to because basically there is just, because if you fix poverty, then you can't sell fixing poverty. Basically, the idea, I realized the whole idea when I was watching an episode of the Powerpuff Girls. They had a guy who was intentionally causing problems just so he could be the guy that goes and is on TV fixing. And as long as we have a government that's like that, that intentionally causes problems just so that way they can be shown fixing them, then we won't be able to solve that. We won't be able to end poverty or homelessness. Because, you know, if you're not showing yourself fixing problems, you know, campaigning on fixing this problem or whatever. So yeah, I believe that. And yeah, I guess you've probably figured out by now I am rather conservative in many things. I'm not religious. I don't believe in God.
Oh, you don't?
No. Yeah, I believe that God exists, but not in the way you do. Not in the way most people do. I believe that God is a creation of man, but that man's faith in God is as effectively as good as if it was the real thing. That people act according to their faith. So effectively, it doesn't matter that God is or isn't real because I believe in faith. I mean, it doesn't really matter that God existed for the Crusades to happen. I mean, it isn't like some old dude in a robe came down and said, hey, yeah, go and like attack this place.
Yeah.
No, the church did, but the church believes that God exists. And the people that did the Crusades believe that God exists. You know, I'm just using the Crusades because it's probably the most famous like holy war. Yeah. But even like the Salvationists, who I have a lot of respect for, you know, they believe God exists, but what are they doing? They're doing the Lord's work in the streets helping. You know, they're not like in a church, you know, isolated from society.
But after you get your eye, what you do,
but that's the best thing. I believe in faith.
So, I guess the question would be, how long do homeless people live? I haven't asked that yet.
It depends. You're going to have a shorter lifespan. There's a lot more stress. You know, you're exposed, you know, to more climate. You're exposed to, you know, there is the more violence, you know, because, you know, not in this area, but in other areas, there's more violence. So, yeah, homeless people do have a shorter lifespan solely because they're, you know, basically, you know, and it depends. Like, if you're in good health, you know, you stay warm, things like that, you can live a long life.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing preventing, there's nothing that makes you, like, live a shorter life, but there are things that will definitely will reduce your life expectancy. You're more exposed to communicable disease because a lot of homeless people tend to be, together. We're going to see, like, a solitary home.
Yeah.
Unless he's, like, well, actually, in this area, you will. This area is unique.
What time you got to go? I just want to make sure I'm at
10.
What time is it?
It's 9:30.
Yep, how many more minutes?
About 20.
Okay, cool. Oh, so you're going to leave here from...
Yeah. Okay. I know, but yeah, there's nothing that, there are things that will definitely reduce life expectancy, but there's no, like, one thing that will just instantly kill you as a...
Yeah.
Except for another guy getting violent. And like I said, I use the term guy because, like I said, homelessness is a very male...
Yeah. I'm going to stop recording.